chapter 1. We're going to make one stop, Genesis chapter 18. So if you want to bookmark your Bibles there. As we always do, let us pray. Father in heaven, God, we thank you so much for this time. And Lord, as I'm praying, I want us all to consider the fact that we get to come together on Sunday mornings. We don't have to. We choose to. We choose to come and receive the word. We choose to come and fellowship with other believers. And God, I would pray for everyone in this room that our faith would be real, that our Christianity would be a priority in our lives. And perhaps that's why we've come. We've come to become stronger Christians, that we would be obedient to your word, no matter what it says. So God, we ask, protect this time, guard this time, guide this time by your Spirit. Teach us your word, that we would be biblical Christians. We love you, Lord. Have your way with us, we pray. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Submission. Just that word sends thoughts through minds and through hearts in this room. The word submission. You see, to the world, the Bible is simply old-fashioned. The Bible is filled with instructions on biblical teachings, and they're in direct opposition to the things of the world. Would you agree with that? In absolute opposition to how society looks at things, how the world looks at things, looks at these things. The principles and the practices outlined inside the pages of our Bibles are being challenged in every way and on every side in the days that we live. Disciplining children is thought of today as crushing their spirits. Drunkenness is simply the byproduct of having a good time. Homosexuality is now considered an acceptable lifestyle. Sex before marriage is commonplace, listen, even in the church. The things that the Bible teaches, the world looks on and says, no, that's old-fashioned. That was good for back then. It's no longer applicable today. And the reason it challenges the world is because then the world has to be responsible for their actions. And the world doesn't want to be responsible for their actions. As Christians, we pray that we do want to be responsible for our actions. We do want to live our lives in such a way that glorifies God, that is obedient to the world. For the Bible is crystal clear. And I don't mean to offend anyone. And quite honestly, not as kind of a disclaimer, but I'm going to speak the Bible this morning, and it's going to offend some people. And I just want to go on record as saying, I personally enjoy being offended by the Word of God. Because I know that my life doesn't line up to the Word of God if I'm offended by it. For the Bible says this, wives, submit to your husbands. Whoa, wait a minute. Close the door. Wives, submit to your husbands. And Paul goes on and says, as to the Lord. When I'm in premarital and we come over this subject of submission, and I see the fiancé, the bride-to-be kind of squirm in their chair, I know very quickly that there's been some misunderstandings when it comes to submission. And I'm praying that this morning that we're going to understand the reality of submission. See, when I read that scripture, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, I'm reminded that all Christians are called to submit to Jesus Christ. And why is it if I said Christians submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, that same heart, that same attitude doesn't go, oh, I don't like that. Right? Isn't it different? For some reason, submitting to Christ, submitting to God is like, yes, I'd do that. But tell a wife to submit to their husband? Heck no. Why? Because of the world we live in today. Because of the world we live in today. Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Same thing for the men. Love my wife as Christ loved the church and did what? Gave his life for that church. As husbands, we're to die to our wives. As wives, we're to submit under the authority that God has been given, that God has given to the husband. Doesn't mean men are smarter. Sorry, guys. Doesn't mean that women are less important. Are you hearing me? We are equal in God's eyes. We complete each other. When God created Adam, he needed Eve to be that helpmate that would perfect Adam. And so wives are important to their husbands to make them complete, equals. We'll see that as we look at 1 Peter. But I want us to have this mindset of the reality of the world that we live in today. If you're going to submit to your husbands, you're going to have some girlfriends that are telling you you're crazy. I don't know if you saw it. You read the newspaper? Does anybody read the newspaper anymore? Wednesday's newspaper, Tennessean. Should wives submit? Only in Middle Tennessee are you going to see an article like this. And only in God's timing is it going to be the Wednesday before the Sunday that I teach on this. Thank you, Wendy, for bringing it to my attention. If you search the Tennessean.com for this article, it no longer exists. No longer exists. They said, I was reading some of the comments on another article or some other blogs that talked about this and how women went nuts that this is front page news, my friends. This isn't buried. This is on the front page. Should wives submit? And women were going crazy. Is this the most important news that we can have in Tennessee? Is that women, when they're supposed to submit to their husbands? Wow, is it challenged? And they said that the comments under this article went on and on and on so quickly. I believe that's why the Tennessean took it down. It probably got so violent. It probably got so brutal. I didn't get a chance to read it. But the truth is, this is God's way. Not my way, not the country's way. This is God's way. Wives are to submit to their husbands because that's the way God made it. Are we good with that? Are we okay with that's the way God created it? Man, I wish God said, wives, submit to your husbands because they have all the knowledge that they need to lead the life. Hey, there's sometimes I make decisions that are wrong. There's sometimes your husband makes decisions that are wrong. But that doesn't change the fact that we still are up under the authority of God and we must be obedient to those truths. So I ask you, where do you stand? Are you on the side that says with the world, yeah, the Bible's old-fashioned. When I read those scriptures, wives submit, I have a hard time with that. I don't want to read that. But I want to read the part where my husband's to love me. Boy, I really want to highlight that one in my Bible. Or are you on the side that says, if the Bible tells me to submit, then with God's help, I will submit. Can you submit on your own? No. Can husbands love their wives on their own? Nope. It takes God's help. And I believe if we understand the reality and the truth of true biblical submission, I believe our marriages will be blessed. I believe our lives will see the favor of God. And I believe that we'll live in harmony with each other. We have a responsibility for all of us in this room who are married. We have a responsibility to pour on and pass on these truths to this next generation that's looking at marriage with a different set of glasses, with a different set of eyes. Marriage is a God-given institution that, when done right, is an absolute blessing. This June, I'll be married 25 years. I made it. It hasn't been perfect. I was trying to be nice. I mean, I know I made some mistakes along the way. I know the women's ministry knows all about them. Yes, they do. But I stand before you today, 25 years into this marriage, loving my wife more than ever before. That's the reality of marriage. It gets better with age. It gets better as you know each other. And it gets better when you do things biblically. As much as possible. Listen, God doesn't force it on us. This is not a command. God is saying, do this and you'll be happy. Do this and you'll be blessed. Do this and you'll honor me. That's the difference. It's an example. So we're going to look at these things in 1 Peter, the same things we see in the book of Ephesians as Paul, in the book of Colossians. Paul talks about these very same things. Verse 1 of chapter 3, read with me. Wives, likewise, because we talked about this with servants and masters, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Two things, wives and husbands. We're going to talk this morning about, again, the submissive heart, the submissive attitude, but ultimately what I believe Peter is saying from a general aspect is doing marriage God's way. Doing marriage God's way. There's a way to cohabitate with your spouse in a way that is God's plan. And there's a way to do that that's the world's plan. And so we're looking here as Peter is encouraging wives and husbands to do things biblically. He's encouraging them, do marriage God's way. And so I would encourage us all to have that in the forefront of our minds. Marriage God's way. I want to live my marriage the way God wants me to live my marriage. Now, some of you in here aren't married. Some of you in here are going to get married. Some of you in here are going to get married many years from now. So this applies to every single person in this room. Some of you in this room are no longer married. And I understand that. I understand how difficult it may be to see these things and see the picture of biblical marriage, and you kind of look at it and go, my marriage ended. My marriage didn't exemplify and live this way, and I know this can be hurtful, but listen to me. Allow these truths to wash over you and teach you. When I know I talk about premarital a lot, but when I speak to a couple who's been married before, we look at the things that happened in the previous relationship so that those principles and those practices and those attitudes don't continue in a new marriage. So receive this word in such a way that say, God, I want to do it right. I want to do it your way. He talks about here wives. And my first point is, when it comes to marriage God's way, I want to think about the powers of a godly wife. The powers of a godly wife. Peter says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. So, Peter says, wives, likewise, in the same way, again, servants are to submit under masters, in the same way, with the same heart, with the same attitude, submission. As we talked a couple weeks ago, submission is voluntary. Write that down. Submission is voluntary. God doesn't demand you to submit to him. God doesn't demand wives to submit to their husbands, although he's making a strong suggestion that that's the way to do it. Do you have to? No. But it's going to be difficult if you don't. Men are called, husbands are called to lead their families and their marriages. But let me go on record to say, it is very hard for a husband to lead if a wife will not let him. Do you hear me? Now, again, this is not saying that the man is smarter and that you don't have any say. I'm not saying that at all, and God does not say that. God put man as the head because that's the way God did it. Do you ever question why God chose the Hebrew nation? There's no reason. He chose it. That was his choice. He chooses as well to make the man the head. So in order to lead, husbands, we need to have our wives allow us to lead. Doesn't mean that they can't give good input. Doesn't mean that they can't tell us things and change our direction or change our minds. We're, again, to help each other. We're equals in marriage. The two shall become one flesh. In God's eyes, you're one unit, equal. Leading, likewise, wives, submit to your husbands, willingly submitting. Notice it says to your own husbands. Bible doesn't tell women to submit to all men. It says submit to your husband. Willingly submit under the authority of your husband. Doesn't mean other men can't give you some instruction and guidance. But Bible is calling you to submit to your own husbands. Notice it says, now Peter goes a little bit deeper and he says, listen, especially or even in the case where maybe your husband is not a believer. However that situation comes about, I don't know. And the Bible doesn't talk about it. But if you find yourself a believing spouse with a believing wife with an unbelieving husband, the power of a godly wife is very effective. Do you see what we see in the scriptures here? It says that they may, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. And here's where I'm going to probably get some emails. The Bible says for wives to lead their husbands to the Lord without saying a thing. Amen. Talk about a difficult thing, right? Women, you like to talk. Right? There's been studies done. Women like to say like 50,000 words in a day. Men, like 10,000. The Bible says, without a word. Why? Because you want to speak. You want to talk. You want to tell your husband, oh, if you will only do this, if you would only come to church with me, you'd see how friendly they are, and you'd see how much they care about you, and you have this misinterpretation of what church is. You should come. No. Don't say a thing. Honey, I'm going to church. Your attitude, your personality should be so on fire for the Lord that just by your husband watching your life, he'd go, man, something's going on in her life. And I see people talking in their spouse's ears because I know this has happened in people's lives. Without a word, that you maybe win your wife. Notice in verses 1 and 2, I kind of subcategorize this under the power of a godly wife as the power of a good witness. The power of a good witness, wives. The ability to be that witness because there's something that God's doing in your heart. I don't know if you've ever experienced it or not, but I think God does a much better job of changing people than I do. Right? I mean, I found in my life, I can't change anybody. But if I pray, God can move. God can work. And that's not any manipulative thing. I mean, it's not like, Lord, please change my wife. No, Lord, please help me be the husband that I need to be so that my wife will change the way she needs to change. That's the heart here, the power of a good witness. Women generally like to talk, but the Bible says, do it by your conduct. Do it by your lifestyle. You know, I love George Mueller, and I'm just going to paraphrase this. I read this commentary about a gentleman that George Mueller knew as a gentleman who was a non-believer. His wife was a believer. And every single night, this is way back in the 1800s, so this is a long time, this woman would stay up late until her husband would come home. Many times he'd come home drunk. She'd come home, she'd greet him, she'd make him dinner. She'd sometimes have to unclothe him and put him in bed to take care of him because he was so drunk. And she would do this over and over and over. To one night, This man was in the bar with his buddies, and he said, "I bet, guys, if we went to my house right now, that my wife would greet us, and if I told her to make us dinner, she'd make us dinner." They're like, "Let's see it." So they all go to the house. Sure enough, she invites them in. He says, "Make us dinner." She cooks the dinner. She puts it before them, and then she goes back to bed. As they start to eat the dinner, the friends of this gentleman are going, "What is wrong with you? How can you be so mean to this woman? How can you treat this woman this way?" One by one, his friends got up and left without finishing the meal. Within 30 minutes, this man was so convicted of what he'd done by his friends that he went into his wife, asked her to pray for him. He received the Lord, and his life changed without a word. By her conduct. I know what's going on in your lives and in your homes, because it goes on in my home as well. Sometimes things are rough. Sometimes things are difficult. But if we would really willingly serve our spouses without anything in return, God would work. Some women in here may be trying to do things a little differently, and it's making things worse, my friends. And I'm not saying be a doormat and be walked over and be treated wrongly. I am not saying that at all. We'll see that later. But I'm saying serve your husband, love your husband. That's what will change his heart. You have an opportunity to be a strong witness. It says in verse 2, when they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear, not fear of the man, fear of God. All right, this is reverence for the Lord, accompanied by that reverence for God. And that speaks very clearly of not being abused. Because you believe in God, you're going to do what's right, but you're not going to put yourself in a situation. I have talked or heard stories about too many women that are in dangerous situations in their relationship. And for some reason, there's Christians around that says, "Oh no, you got to stay with that husband because God hates divorce." I would say God equally hates a woman being mistreated. And I believe that with all my heart. We're to love on them and to care for them, not to put them in harm's way. Not only do we see the power of a good witness, but verses 3 and 4, the power of an inner beauty. The power of an inner beauty. Look at verses 3 and 4. Do not let your adornment be merely outward. Notice it says merely. Adorning the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel. These things are not bad, ladies. These things are not evil, and they're not of the devil. I mean, look at the shirt I'm wearing. You got to be kidding me. I'm a sinner, I guess. The Bible is saying here, don't let these things be paramount. Don't let these things be priority. There's nothing wrong with looking nice. There's nothing wrong with fixing your hair. There's nothing wrong with wearing jewelry. But don't let that be the priority. Please let your heart not be, "I'm going to wear this nice tight outfit so guys will see me." Don't do that. That's what it's saying. Don't win them with the flesh. Win them with the spirit is what the Bible is saying. The power of an inner beauty. The things that are going on inside the heart. Verse 4, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, which with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. This doesn't mean that God only loves quiet women. You can laugh. God has gifted women. He's empowered women. And it's sad in the church today that women do 90% of the work in the church. It's not called to be like that. And this is, we'll get into the men here in a minute, dealing with our issues. But a gentle spirit, a calm spirit, a spirit that can handle difficulties in life when they come. You know, having that confidence in God. It's not just a little mealy mouse. Oh, don't. No. Be confident in the Lord. But make sure that that's what they're, the hidden person of the heart, the things in the heart, the things that you are, the God-created things, not the things you put on the outside. It's that inner beauty. See, it says, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, not the outward things. So we need to find a balance. And I guess I would say this to the church. We need to be careful the way we judge others. We need to be careful the way we look around the church and oh, that person's doing that and that person's doing that. If you're coming to church, or if you go anywhere to be noticed by the world rather than God, check your heart. Check your heart. When I first got saved, I got saved at a church that was a large church, and I enjoyed disappearing in the crowd. I just wanted to go. I wanted to hear from God. I wanted God to see me. I wanted God to work on my life. But later on, I realized, God, you're going to use me in this world. And I want to be able to speak confidently and boldly, but I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about you. And when we're talking about the inner person, the inner heart, what has God done in your life, ladies? What is God doing in your life? Be confident in that, not the outward things. There are women that look really good on the outside, but when the inside comes out, it's very ugly. It's very ugly. The things that come out of their mouths, the attitudes that they portray, I don't care how nice you're dressed, I don't care how nice your hair is, but what comes out of you, that's what's important. That inner beauty, so important. And notice it's precious in the sight of God. Does God miss anything? God knows. God knows what we do. God knows the way we are. Even we might not even know it ourselves, but God knows it. Please Him. Finally, verses 5 and 6 is the power of a true legacy. Listen, the power of a true legacy. What are you passing on to other women, to other, you know, your daughters or other young women in this next generation? Look at verse 5. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God, so important, also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Sarah is an example of a godly woman. She wasn't perfect by any means. Neither is anyone in this room. But she had that heart. She had that attitude that Abraham was her master in a sense. Abraham was her Lord. And I've joked many a times about Lou calling me Lord. But there's something that I learned as I studied this a little bit deeper this time. This is not calling, Sarah never called Abraham Lord out loud. It was an attitude in her heart. It was an attitude in her heart. And if we will just leave 1 Peter for a moment and go over to Genesis 18, I want everybody to see this. You probably know the story as the angel of the Lord shows up to Abraham. It's actually Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. He has a couple angels with him, and they serve them a meal. It's Genesis 18. We're going to be right in the first verse. And we're going to see something very interesting. And this is the situation where Sarah calls Abraham Lord. Verse 1, chapter 18, then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. This is Abraham. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by. Inasmuch as you have come to your servant," they said, "do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran out to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed, listen, within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also." The importance of this story is not that Sarah laughed, not that Sarah doubted God, not that any of us do that, right? But that Sarah in her heart said, she looked at the circumstances of the age of herself and her husband, and she said, "My Lord, the one I submit under, are we going to have a child now?" Sarah lost sight, probably Abraham as well, lost sight of the promise that God had given to Abraham many years earlier, of the promised son, Isaac. And here we see Sarah having this attitude. And the reason I bring attention to this story is, ladies, I would encourage you in your hearts, because it's one thing to do it on the outside, but it has to happen on the inside, that you willingly submit under the authority of your husband. Encourage your husband. Strengthen your husband. Pray for your husband. Be there for your husband. Support him. And I'm telling you, your marriage will be blessed. Your life will be rich. You'll see God move in your life. Rather than, if you're in this position of complaining about your husband, "He never does anything for me. He never does the things I want." Don't ever use the word never, by the way. Pray for him. Encourage him. It's a lot easier to deal with the discrepancies when you've been dealing with the blessings that your husband is to you. You need to thank God for the man God has given to you. You need to thank the Lord for putting him in your life, because he's there to make you better, and you're there to complete him. The two of you together are a team. You must work together. And I know what happens in the home. It's good times and bad times, the ups and the downs. Be nice to erase all the bad ones, wouldn't it? Do what God calls you to do. Be there for each other. Sarah said within her heart, ask yourself this morning, in my heart, am I going to willingly choose to submit to the man God has put over me? It's a choice you must make. The powers of a godly woman. Submit under the authority of the Word of God. Turn us back now, 1 Peter. Let's look at some guys. Ladies, are we done with you now? Again, just verse 7. It's interesting to me that Peter has 6 verses for the women and 1 for the guys. Just an observation. Probably because the husbands can't handle 6 verses, right? God's like, give them one thing, let them get that down, and we'll give them another. Verse 7, husbands, likewise. Again, this likewise means in the same manner, with the same heart, with the same attitude that you willingly choose to do these things. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Not only is there the powers of a godly wife, there's the prayers of a godly husband. The prayers of a godly husband. Now, Peter says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Now, guys, if I could get the ladies to plug their ears for a moment. Guys, do you understand your wife? Thank you. Good. I'm not the only one then. I just... 27 years. You know, right when you think, all right, I got her figured out. Man, no. You know, you go to Bed Bath & Beyond, we're picking out towels. I like the blue ones. No, we're getting the green ones. Okay, I thought we wanted the blue ones. You know, it's like, just when I think, you know, Friday night's coming, she's going to want to stay home with the dogs, a nice quiet night at home, and she wants to go out to dinner. I just can never understand her. And that's not what this verse is saying. I don't think we'll ever understand our wives completely. What the Bible is telling us as husbands, dwell with them with understanding. Cohabitate with them, understanding. I know the ladies are going to get upset, that they're the weaker vessel. Well, I know. I know there's some women in here that can beat me in arm wrestling. Okay, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about in general. The wives are weaker, can be physically, not overall, generally, could be physically, definitely emotionally. Oh, boy. I mean, something happens, it's like panic, you know, it's like red, the needle goes right to the red. So relax, we're going to get through this. We got to dwell with our wives, guys, understanding that position. My wife sometimes comes out and she'll give me this whole list of everything that went wrong during the day. I'm like, well, just forget that. That doesn't work for women. You know, somebody heard, forget them. Who cares about them? I do. And it's like, ugh. We need to understand that our women, that the way they work. We need to understand the way they think. Try to understand the way they think so that we can be there for them. Again, we're there to cover them. We're there to protect them. How many husbands in here know the difference between their wives telling them a story just to hear it and their wives telling them a story to get a resolution out of it? It's like, whew. My wife says something, and I'm out first thing, do you want to fix it or do you want me to just listen? I'm ready on either way. I'll just listen if you want me to, but I got a solution if you want. Don't want it? Fine. Terrible. I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to listen. Oh, I thought you wanted me to fix it. <laughs> 25 years. If any husband in this room understands women, you need to teach a men's class here at the church. Help us. We need to learn. Notice it says, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. Giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. Give her first place in your life, guys. Please. Before everything else, their wife must be first. Okay, on earth, all right? God is always first. But on earth, your wife is queen. And she should be treated like a princess. When you're with your guys, don't talk bad about her. When you're out, be nice, be kind to her. Giving honor to the wife. Make your wife a priority above all things. And I know what's going through the minds of guys right now. They're saying, well, that's not easy. And I'm going to tell you, no, it's not. It's not easy. It's not easy. If it was easy, every husband would do it. If it was easy, everyone would do it and every marriage would be blessed. I get crazy when I see a couple walking into a store or to a restaurant and the man goes in first. They just open the door, walk in, and let go and keep on going. Girls right behind them. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I get violent. It's like, are you kidding me? You're not going to open the door after you? And I'll admit, sometimes I have to remind my wife, don't touch the door. Don't touch the door. Because I know what's going on. In the days that we live, women do a lot for themselves. You do a lot for yourselves, and you're capable of doing it. But do me a favor. Let us do some things for you. Let us honor you. Let us get the car door. Let us open the door. Let us pull the chair out. And trust me, I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you guys. Priority, guys. Priority. Here we go. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. Make sure she's a priority as to the weaker vessel. Here it is. As being heirs together of the grace of life. Here the Bible is very clear and speaks about togetherness. Do you know how important it is for togetherness in a marriage? If you've never been married, you have no idea. togetherness. Being together, being on the same page. Being together in the grace of life. In other words, when God looks down at a man and a woman, he looks down and says, I sent Jesus Christ for both of you. Jesus died for the husband. Jesus died for the wife. Equally. Equally have that grace of life. But we also, as husbands and wives, have the blessing of the grace of life for bringing children into the world. There, ladies, you are taking precedence. You are powerful in that area. Something men can't do. We can participate and get out of the way and let the process take place. In the New Living Translation of verse 7, it says, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Equal. Please don't let anybody, any Christian or any Christian organization tell you that wives, you need to submit under a man because you're less. You're equal. Husbands, we have a huge responsibility to lead. And we have an opportunity to pray. Now look at this last verse, or last part of the verse. That your prayers may not be hindered. I don't know how many men's Bible studies I've been to have talked about this particular verse. Because men, we don't want our prayers to be hindered, do we? So if we don't want our prayers to be hindered, then we need to dwell with them with understanding, giving priority and preference to them and honor to them, that our prayers won't be hindered. Why would Peter say that? Listen, if you're not treating your wife the way she needs to be treated, I think the ears of God are a little plugged up. It's like, oh, God, bless my day-to-day, bless my business, keep me safe. And God's going, you're not taking care of things at home. Your prayers are hindered. And let me submit this as well. Your prayers between you and your wife are also hindered. When there's stress and strain in the home, there's no praying together with your spouse, is there? We rarely want to pray ourselves when we've got something going on. And if there's something going on, if there's a rub in your, and there's things that aren't happening right in your home, you need to get on your knees and humble yourself and say, God, forgive us for acting stupid. And make things right. And then come back together and pray together. Sorry, honey, I apologize for being like that. And pray together so that our prayers together aren't hindered. Not just the prayers of the men. I believe this speaks of the prayers of both of us. When there's not unity in your marriage, prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. If there's something that you've done and there's some wrong in the home, you got to make it right if you want God to have an ear for you. Think about it this way. God wants wives to submit to husbands. God wants husbands to live with understanding with the wives. If that is not happening properly, how can God answer the prayers until that's being taken care of? The first priority, the first prayer that you must pray, God, help me get this right. Well, if you've been married, if you're married and you know the your heart beating out of your chest when you've just had a drop-down, drag-out fight, my wife and I call them, and you just thought, oh, man, I just messed up, I'm wrong, how do I make this right? And sometimes for men, it's hard to swallow that humble pill and go up and say, I'm sorry. But do you know how powerful those words are to say I'm sorry? If you're really sorry? We had some friends that whenever they'd get in a fight, they had this agreement that if one of them said to the other, I'm sorry, the other one would respond, you're sorry. You are sorry. It was just that thing that got them through the tension of who's going to say it first. So if I said to Lou, yo, I'm sorry, honey, she'd say, you're sorry. We need to be sorry. Somebody needs to be sorry first to make it work together. Guys, our prayers, we don't want them to be hindered, but our prayers need to be such that, God, help me love my wife the way Christ loved the church. God, help me cover her with wisdom and understanding and protection. God, help me wash over her with the word. God, give me a scripture that I might share with my wife. Praying those things, effective prayers, knowing that, God is hearing. Come to that place of humility. Marriage God's way works. Marriage any other way is work. Marriage any way is work. The power of a believing wife, or a godly wife, and the prayers of a godly husband are how marriage works, right? God's way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. And now as we enter into this time of communion, God, I pray for all that are in this room, married or not, that God, we've all taken something away from today's message. And maybe there's areas in our heart that are still a little bit hard. Maybe there's areas in our attitudes as husbands or wives or future husbands and wives that we know need to be worked on. God, we pray during this time of communion as we remember what Jesus Christ did for us upon the cross, that you died for us, that you bled for us, that our sins would be washed away. God, I pray that we would take this time to allow that blood to wash over our shortcomings in our marriages, in our attitudes, that truly that we can pick up a newspaper or read an article that says, wives, submit, and not have a hard heart. That we would truly embrace the truth of what that means. And Lord, let this be time between us and you, reflecting, being reminded that you've paid the price in full, that we simply must just continually come to you humbly, prayerfully, knowing that you will fill us, God, and strengthen us in our weaknesses, so that not only will our lives be blessed, not only will our marriages be blessed, but we'll be a blessing to others. We love you so very much, God. We thank you for this time to remember. We pray that this time would be yours. It's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.